reading you from the Revelation, the 3rd chapter, the 20th verse. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Well, friends, the date is at 7:30, October the 1st, at the Littleton Seventh-day Adventist Hospital. And we'll go in for our cancer surgery. I expect my dear listening friends to hold me up in the prayer. Pray for those dear people working with me, the doctor, the anesthesiologist, all of them. You pray for them. And my dear sweet granddaughter, who's an RN, is going to be with me for the first couple of days to see if they treat Grandpa right. Isn't that sweet? Well, listen, hey, I'll be with you for a half an hour. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax? Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, friends, I've labeled this testimony time. Now, I want to talk to you about how and where you're to give your testimony. Number one, our good friend Isaiah 62:6 says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest. Well, all right. He says, give it unceasingly, day and night. Beloved, can I level with you? One of the reasons our churches are dying and are dead is the fact that we as Christians have dried up. We no longer care where men and women spend eternity. I'm ashamed to say that, but it's a fact. Let me ask you, when was the last time you really got serious about witnessing to a man or a woman? Or are you going to wait till they have to go to the hospital or on a dying deathbed? Or why don't you go while they're still alive and still kicking and can still be used of the Lord? You know, I sure don't compare myself to the Apostle Paul. You know I don't. But, oh, beloved, listen, I've tried to pattern my life a lot after his. He was a godless man. He was hurting Christians. He was killing Christians, putting him in prison. And he thought he was doing God a great big old favor. Until one day on the road to Damascus, he was struck down by a great light. And he heard Jesus' voice. And oh, my friends, the world has never been the same since Paul, who now is called Paul, was saved on the road to Damascus. Oh, friends, they literally turned the world upside down for Jesus. Now, what was the difference? Well, Paul sold out. Sold out everything he had to tell the world about Jesus. Friends, can I tell you, I've told you a million times, the morning I was saved, I was crying, I was bawling, I was at the end of the road. There was no hope for me, not one bit. In fact, the devil told me there was no hope. But this dear pastor, who knew Jesus personally, assured me that there was hope for me. And he said, if you will follow what the Bible said by repenting and calling upon the name of the Lord, not only will he save you, but he will deliver you from the curse of alcohol, and he will give you a new heart. Therefore, If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Friends, that was 52 years ago. I am still on the firing line. I did. I sold out that night when I gave him my heart. And then a year later, God called me to preach, and I again rededicated my life to him. And oh, have I made mistakes? Oh, precious friends, of course. I'm not perfect. I don't walk on the water. But he didn't change my looks. But I'll tell you right now, friends, he put something in my heart I never had. First of all, he put peace there. Now, I never experienced peace in my lifetime. He tells us that we're to give our testimony in our home. This is the hard part, dear friends, because your family knows you, they've seen you, and you don't want to preach at them, because if you do, you'll lose them. It says in Mark 5:18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Now, here this guy was on the island of Gadara. They chained him up in cemeteries. He foamed at the mouth. They couldn't. He'd break the chains. He was a terrible repair. But when Jesus' disciples came ashore, he's the first one Jesus saw. He cast out the demons. Oh, and this guy immediately is in his right mind. That's what happened to me. When he delivered me from alcoholism, he just delivered, not a week later, right on the instant spot. Salvation is instantaneous. It's not 4 or 5 weeks. It's one time, and then he saved you. Well, you know, when they went back to the disciples and Jesus went back to the ship, he turned around and here that demoniac who had been possessed begged to go with him. Now, I can understand how he felt. Jesus had just delivered him and saved him, and Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on him. Oh, friends, let's go back to when you were saved. Let's remember, where were you at? In a car, in a church, in a home, with preachers, wherever. Don't you remember that time? Don't you just remember when you bowed your head and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Can't you remember that? And beloved, listen to me. Listen carefully, very carefully. If you cannot remember a time in your life when the Holy Spirit of God convicted you of your lost condition and you have not changed since that conviction, then you're not born again. Jesus said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, now, you see, but Nicodemus was no drunk. No, he sure wasn't. Was he dishonest? No, I can't see where he was. He was wealthy, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin court, but bless your heart, that man responded to the message, ye must be born again. So if you've not been born again, please, tonight, before this broadcast is over, when at the end of the broadcast, I'll lead you in the most powerful prayer man has ever prayed. Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That means here where you live. Right here in America. You know where a good place to witness? In a local church. What? That's right. In a local church. You do not know how many lost men and women are sitting in those pews today. And even preachers today are lost in sin. I know a church over here, they got 5 pastors and not one of them will use the name Jesus. They will not use his name. They call him Lord, Father, but Jesus is the only name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. Well, in the assembly of saints you're supposed to talk. Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another with psalms, by hymns, spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Friends, I spent 18 months during World War II, in Dutch Harbor, Alaska. Boy, what a terrible place to be. It's cold, there's no trees, and that's where they catch all that expensive crab up there. But anyway, I was a terrible alcoholic, and almost every night, about 15 of us would go over to a tavern, and we'd just get snuckered. Well, there was two fellas on our ship, big tall guys, about 6 foot, and they carried their Bibles with them, and we called them every name under heaven. We made fun of them. We laughed at them. Well, one day, they kind of took a liking to me. I guess the Lord must have revealed this Cecil needed something more than booze. And they said, Cecil, we're having a revival meeting over here at the submarine base in a Quonset hut, and there's a preacher here from Alabama is going to be our evangelist. Well, I said, okay, I didn't want to go. Oh, I did not want to go. And I sat as far in the back of that Quonset hut. There was Marines, sailors, Seabees, all kinds, Air Force guys. And that preacher no more than stood up and he pointed his grubby little fingers at me. Except you be born again, you will burn in hell. I said, no, I won't. I run out of that Quonset hut, run back aboard ship. Well, the boys got the service order. Where in the world did you go, Cecil? Well, I said, undoubtedly you didn't see what the preacher did. Well, what did he do, Cecil? I said, he pointed his finger at me and told me if I wasn't bored again, I'd go to hell. And they laughed. They said, Cecil, that was God's Holy Spirit. I said, I don't know what it was, but boy, it scared me. Well, anyway, those boys kept witnessing to me and witnessing to everybody. I tell you, did you know all three of us ended up preachers? Did you know that? Anyway, many years later, I was the director of a rescue mission up in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And I picked up this religious periodical, and I looked and I saw several preachers, you know, they had been at the convention, and said, Reverend John Hornock. I said, you don't suppose that's a John Hornock that was on my ship in the Lucian Islands? I got on the phone, I called the paper, and found out how to get a hold of Reverend John Hornock, and it was. He was a man that shared his testimony with me. He witnessed to me. He quoted from the Word of God. And I told him, I said, John, oh, thank you. Thank you, dear brother, for witnessing to me. I was so lost. I was so unhappy. He said, we knew you were, Cecil. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm a preacher, too. And I told him, I was the director of this big, large rescue mission. He was so proud of me. Well, a few years later, when we produced a film Against All Hope, A Story of My Life, I was showing the film in somewhere over there. And did you know here he walked into that meeting? I hugged him and he hugged me. Oh, friends, listen. That man's testimony, part of my salvation experience will be some of his rewards because he did take time. Now it tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Always ready, constantly ready to share your testimony. You know, I've always said this. People make fun of me. They said, well, here goes old Cecil. He can't preach, but he does testify. I don't care whether you think I can preach or not. As long as I talk about Jesus, as long as I give you an invitation to come trust Jesus, I've done my part. Now, see, you know God has blessed America with some great golden-throated orators. But listen, beloved, if your pastor, get me now, if your pastor, you member of this church for 2 or 3 years, has never darkened your door, nor ever had a cup of coffee or lunch with you, you can rest assured he doesn't care. You say, Cecil, that's not fair. Did you know that some of these churches have 500 or 600 people? Well, that's not my fault. We got too many mega churches and not enough working churches. We need some servants to get down and get with it. Get down in the dirt. Don't be afraid to share your... You know what? I have to admit something. I used to be afraid of rich people. Yes, I was. Boy, I was afraid to witness to a banker or someone that was... Until I got my own business and I made a few $1 million. And then, I was not afraid to witness, which is wrong. But a rich man needs Jesus as same as a poor man. Now, you ought to see me when I go to the rescue mission, my wife and I, in Denver. Sometime we have as high as 200, 300 men and women in there. Cold, hungry, some of them very mental. Many of them are alcoholics. Many of them are homosexuals. Unloved, swept under the rug. No one seems to care. But when I get up there, see, I can't stand up to preach anymore. I have to sit in my scooter. But I'll sit there and I'll look in the faces of those men and women. And I'll remember when I was there. I remember when I was in that church mission in Portland, Oregon, drunk out of my mind. Oh, I was hurting so bad. But you know what? When they come to the altar call and they saw vomit on me and smelt my alcoholic wino breath, they just passed me on by. They wouldn't talk to me. But you know what stood in good with me? Because now I know that I've got to tell those men and women, hey, you know, some we've had as high as 20 or 30 come forward. Now, I always have people, when I preach and give an invitation, I always have people come forward to make a public profession of faith. That's scriptural. And then I pray with them. And you ought to see some of the hugs I get from those men and women. It touches my heart. But you know, the true marks of a Christian is found in Psalm 66:16. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I don't like to tell you that I was an alcoholic. I don't like to tell you that I was a bad person, but I was. But what I want to tell them is what Jesus did for me. He was the one that changed my life. Someone said, oh, well, Cecil, you just decided to grow up. No, I didn't. I was so sick and tired of my rotten life, my alcoholism. I wanted somebody. I'd been to 6 different preachers. I'd been to psychiatrists and psychologists and brain specialists. But no one had the answer. Now, here's what it says in Isaiah 63:7. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. Oh, friends, listen to me. I was talking again, I told you last week, I was talking to my dear brother in Christ, Bill Elton. He is such a blessing to me and his wife. And we were talking about the things of the Lord. And we were praising the Lord and sharing testimony after testimony of God's redeeming grace and what he's done in our life. That's what the world needs to hear today. That Jesus saves, Jesus keeps, Jesus satisfies. And if you haven't found that, then this is all Greek to you. And it also says in Jeremiah 29, but if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I can add, oh, that weeping Jeremiah, bless his heart. He loved his people. They were in a whole heap of trouble. But you know what? Jeremiah had so much love in his heart that he just had to share it with his people. Malachi 3:16, it says, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name." It's an everyday duty, not once a month or two or three times a week. Every time that God opens a door, please ask him, you know, "Hey, could I... Let me, if you want to write this down, here is one of my daily morning prayers. Lord, give me holy boldness. Lord, I pray that you'll fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit and do me with power on high. And, oh, Father, help me to be a soul winner for Jesus." Boy, howdy, that works. Oh, yes, it does. You try it. See if it don't work. Well, in Acts 4:20, it says, "For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Now, if you've seen the Lord do something, you ought to share it with somebody. You know what, friends? I've said this before. I hope you don't get mad at me, but I'm going to tell you. Did you know there's never been more weather problems? My son owns a business, and he's got men all over the United States. They're adjusters for hail, for floods, for hurricanes, for earthquakes. He's got them all over the United States. And I'm telling you, there's never been more problems, if weather problems, at any time in the history of America or the world. China, Russia, India, you name it. Countries are having all kinds of problems. Who sends the weather? Almighty God does. What is he trying to do? He is trying to get everybody's attention. Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden. He wants to save you, dear friend. He wants to take you to heaven. He wants to give you eternal life. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to go to heaven? Oh, I sure hope you do. 2 Corinthians 4:13, it is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith we also believe and therefore speak." Now he tells us in Isaiah 43:10, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. And you also must testify, for you have been me from the beginning. Go stand in a temple court," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." Friends, I want you to hold me up in prayer in the hospital the first day of October, because I truly want to be a witness there in that hospital. I take movies, I take books, I give them to every nurse, every doctor that I can witness to. They knew on floor 7 the other day, they knew there was someone here that had been changed. And they said, "Well, Cecil, you've lived a good life." I said, "Yes. Have I lived a perfect life?" "Absolutely not." Someone might say, "Well, Cecil, if you're a preacher and called of God, why are you sick? Why are you going to have to be operated on?" Because that was in God's plan. Oh, I can see the radio is turning off all over America. You think because you're saved that you're not going to have trials and tribulations? Read the book. You're going to have them. We're going to have them. We're going to have financial problems, health problems, you name it. But the reason we have it, because God wants to show us his power. He wants to season us, make soldiers out of us, so we can be used in a mighty way in the field of evangelism. Friends, right now, here's what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you a serious question. Do you know where you're going to go if you were to die today or tomorrow? You say, "Well, not really. Well, I really hope I'm going to heaven, or I think I'm going to heaven." That's not going to cut it, kid. Do you know? If you don't know, the Bible said this is written. that you may know that you pass from death unto life. You can know, and then the Holy Spirit will bear witness in our soul that we've been born again, that we're children of God. Now listen, if you're tired of your wayward life and you want a new life, and you're willing to confess to God that you're a sinner, you feel a little old tugging at your heart, bow your head with me and please don't pray this unless you mean it. Here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for my sins. And oh God, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. Oh, I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down writing and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm not asking you to leave your denomination or your church. I'm just asking you to bring your sins to Jesus. If you want to talk to me and you don't know what to, just call me. Call me collect if you don't have the money, because I'll be concerned about it. 303-471-8534. God bless you. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I do thank you, dear friends, for listening. Oh, please, Lord, have all your people pray for me, will you, in the hospital, and pray that I'll be a witness and I'll be able to tell those men and women about Jesus. Let me practice what I preach, huh? Okay. I love all you people, and I tell you, I'd like to hear from you once in a while. Just write and say, Cecil, we love you. We pray for you and your wife and your quartet. That means a lot to me. Well, friends, I don't know. This might be the last tape for a month. I don't know yet. It depends on how things go. But anyway, I'll be getting these tapes back to you real soon. So until this time, and when we hear you again, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus coming soon. Good night, and God bless you real, real good.